Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Yeah, freefoodandmedicine.com. Or if you want to give me credit for your purchases, because he does have free stuff and he has for sale stuff. So if you want to give us credit for your purchases, go to freefoodandmedicine.net. That'll take you to my affiliate link to Marcus Rothkrantz stuff. But, you know, I'm not doing this for the money. So you can go to the .com or the .net. It doesn't matter to me. The money helps, but I'm not doing this for the money. In fact, everything in that book that he just talked about, I got the book in front of me. Everything that he talked about in that book that will grow in zone 7 or pretty close to, like say we can grow it in a greenhouse, I will be growing on my land. That's part of my retirement plan, is basically we're working on a food forest. We'll have animals. We probably will eat some of them, but for the most part, they're Pacums. Pet organic composting machine. And, you know, when we get too many, then naturally we'll either sell them or eat them or both. We're not vegans or vegetarians like Marcus Rothkrantz. But we do believe that you should be eating at least 75% fruits and vegetables and, you know, raw, organic, stuff like that. Free food and medicine. So, before I get started, I want to tell you about Dateline. She wrote this book. We're not dating or anything. She ended up ghosting me, but nonetheless, she seems interesting and her book seems interesting. She's a like-minded type person. So let me see if I can find it. GMO free child. Yes. Okay, her book is called GMO Free Child, A Parent's Guide to Dietary Cleanup. And I don't know, I'm not the best reader. Genetically modified organisms, GMO. Okay, so, yeah, I'll go ahead and follow her. Anyway, right now she has a publisher, but they're releasing her, and so soon she'll be her own publisher or something like that. I don't remember what she said, what the details were. But her name is April Scott. She used to live in Oregon. She just moved to Bolivar, Missouri. And so that's how we ended up meeting. We haven't actually met. We just talked on the phone once. But soon she'll get full credit for the full purchases, and where she won't have to share it with the people that were marketing her book for her. So I plan on buying it, not because of her, but just because she's like-minded, the book is like-minded. But I plan on waiting so that she can have full credit. She doesn't have to share the proceeds. So by the time you listen to this, might be the right time to buy it, because it might be that time. So you can find it on Amazon.com. She seems pretty passionate, like I am, about, you know, organic, GMO, non-GMO, all natural, stuff like that. I'm not sure why she ghosted me. It seemed like we had a good conversation. But it's whatever. You know, people do weird things because, I guess, I don't know, she just didn't get the right vibe or something. So, yeah. So check that out. Like I said, it's a like-minded person who wrote a book and is passionate about like-minded stuff. So Marcus Rothkranz, and like I said, I don't get no credit for that, for advertising for her. But, you know, we need to promote each other, whether we are friends or not, whether we're romantic or not, it doesn't matter. We need to promote people like us, and that's the reason I'm promoting her, is because she's like us. She's one of us. So, whatever. Anyway, so my topic today, this is for my tree boss. He's been having, I guess, internal bleeding. He's had bloody stools lately. Started in September. And I texted all this information to his wife, but I'm going to go over it today on today's podcast. So the category in Marcus Rothkranz's book is bloody diarrhea, which would be anything, you know, pertaining to bloody stools and internal bleeding, I presume. There's a lot of good stuff in this book, and there's other books like this book. In fact, one of these days, I may write my own book on the subject. I've been talking about it, thinking about it. Between David Ray and I, we could do it, but we're so ADD, we just probably will never get around to it. Anyhow, agave. Because Rothkranz isn't a huge fan of agave syrup. Honey is better for you. There's other natural sweeteners that are better for you than the agave. But agave, if you have internal bleeding, the raw, unprocessed agave would probably be better for you than the processed sweetener agave. Let's see here. alder, which I don't know what that is, and it says the smooth alder. So let's look that up real quick, because I don't know what that is. And see, I might have GMO problems. Yeah, I've been fighting this, like, allergy issue. And that's the other reason why I kind of spawned about the book. I've had this allergy issue for a few years now. And I assume it was from food paint. You know, all the food coloring in our food. And after talking to her and her explaining her book to me, talking about, and actually I did do some homework on the book, and I've, you know, basically she was talking about in a YouTube video or something, about how the GMOs cause allergy problems. And so that might be, you know, why I'm always clearing my throat all the time. It might be GMO related. Recently, I had another problem. The last truck I was driving, I got a different truck now. I'm a truck driver, for those who didn't know. Had a radiator leak, and the fumes, or the radiator leak was on top of the motor, and so it would turn into a gas, and the fumes basically poisoned me. And if you do some research on that, it basically gives you flu-like symptoms. And so it basically made me sick. I could have gotten a cold on top of that, but I spent 2 weeks sicker than a dog because of that radiator leak. I'm just finally recovering as of a few days ago, but I still got that lingering cough. And, of course, the more I talk, the worse it gets. So that doesn't help. But it'll be okay. I'll be fine in a couple of days. I take my herbs. I eat as raw and organic, as natural and healthy as possible. But, you know, I do eat stuff like cottage cheese. It's been processed. Applesauce. And I drink juice that's been processed. Green tea. Sometimes I'll make my own. But I found this Golden Peaks green tea that's really good. And it doesn't have any high fructose corn syrup in it. So, you know, I buy stuff at the store, just like everybody else, that may or may not be 100% natural and organic. But I try to be as natural and organic as possible. And I'm pretty healthy for 46. Most people think I'm in my 30s. And they can't believe I'm 46. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, the gray hair is the only thing that gives me away. But even that, you know, I am very healthy, very young-like. In fact, I'm healthier now than I was in my 20s when I first discovered this stuff. I was very sickly in my 20s. I didn't know anything about alternative medicines. My first wife and I started getting in alternatives, and then, of course, after we got divorced, she went back into the pharmaceutical world, and I stayed alternative. Now she's gone from iatrogenic disease, and I'm still healthier than I was 20 years ago. But anyway, so, okay, I got off track. Sorry, I'm a little ADD. Alder. Alder. Here it is. Page 276. Okay. 276. Alder. And it kind of looks like a pine cone. But maybe like a soft pine cone. I think I've seen these before. Anyway. It's a tree, by the way. Let's see here. Alder, smooth. Toothed, very edgy leaves. They don't look toothed. But anyways, wavy, edgy leaves. branch bark most common used part or commonly used part for purifying blood, malaria, syphilis, diarrhea, detoxing, skin conditions, rash, hemorrhoids, coughs, any kind of mouth problem. It's in the birch family, even though there is no resemblance, but like birch, alder bark contains an anti-inflammatory silicate into salicylic, which turns into salicylic acid into the body. I'm bad with big words, so they throw me off sometimes. Shoot, sometimes small words throw me off. Anyways, natural aspirin, for pain relief and headaches. Native cultures use red alder bark to treat poison oak, insect bites, skin problems, lymphatic issues, and tuberculosis. Alder contains betulin, and lupeal. So betulin and lupeol. Never heard of those two words. I have to look them up. Which have been shown to be effective against tumors and not a tumor. Male trees have long tubular flowers. Catkins. Female flowers are shorter, and do not The female flowers are shorter and do not disintegrate after maturity. Weird. Okay. So I guess the females harden like a pine cone because they got the seed in them. And maybe, I don't know. I'm not that familiar with this tree. And the male flower just kind of peters out. Let's see, where was I? Okay, here I am. Maturity. The sausage-shaped catkins are edible. Oh, okay. So the two male tubular flowers are called the catkins. I don't know about the female flowers, but anyways, they're edible and don't taste very good, but are a great source of protein. Alden trees improve surrounding soil. That'd be good. Surrounding soil nutrition and fertility because they grow nitrogen-fixing bacteria on their roots. This bacteria can grow into nodes as big as apples. Oh, okay, so they're like knees, I think, maybe. Like bald cypress. So bald cypress grows like these little knees on the roots above ground. You got to be careful not to trip over them. So they grow these, the bacteria can grow into nodes as big as apples. Its purpose is to absorb nitrogen from the air and release it into the tree. The tree feeds on or feeds the bacteria with a natural sugar. This makes the tree a wonderful soil preparation device for future generations of plants in the area. So that's pretty cool. So it's got medicinal properties and it's a soil fixer. Alden, I learned something new today, just like you. Okay, so for internal bleeding and bloody stools, we have aloe, ashwagandha, aspen, which is an evergreen. Bistort, which I don't know what that is either. Let's look that one up real quick if we got time. Bistort. There it is, page 92. Some people don't like to read or they drive too much like I do. They don't got time to read. So this is good for them, me reading from the book, even though I'm not the best reader. Okay, this door, let's see what it looks like. Okay, it almost looks like ladyfingers, I think they're called. It's got a little purplish pink flower, and it looks like it's kind of grassy, but I'm not sure how tall it gets. It might say in here, sometimes he says that. Bistort, infectious disease fighter, very strong, astringent, stops internal and external bleeding, bam, used for diarrhea, IBS, ulcerative colitis, ulcerative colitis, whatever that is. Sounds familiar, but I don't know what it is. Dysentery, mouth sores, vaginal discharge. So if you have the wrong kind of vaginal discharge, that would be good for you. Gargle for sore throats. Whole plant is edible. Plant has tall spike stem whose top is covered with a club-like cluster of pink flowers. So there you go. You have to get the book so you can see what it looks like in person. Or Google it. It's spelled B-I-S-T-O-R-T. So the next one on the list is Cape Aloe, which is just like a bigger, giant aloe with like this red flower on it or something. I'm going off memory. I've seen it. We podcasted on it before. Which, by the way, this is one of our last podcasts with Blog Talk Radio. We won't have much more time. So after this, you'll have to catch us at freefoodandmedicine.org, where we will maybe possibly continue this. David kind of petered out on me, so I'm doing this all by myself now. So it's when I remember and have time, because I'm, like, very busy most all the time. Anyways, but this is my passion, you know, so anyhow, nobody ever calls in, so I just call in when I remember. If we had callers, maybe David would be more inspired to call in as well. But it almost seems like we don't, I know we got listeners, but it almost seems like we're talking to just dead air. When I know better, but that's how it feels. So call in, please, you know, feel free. We love our callers. And, you know, cross-analyze. You may know something we don't know, and you can fill in the blanks and help us be better podcasters. Anyways, Chaparral, and he's got a star next to the Chaparral, which means that's probably one of the main herbs you want to use for this disorder or problem, medical condition. So, Chaparral. Now, I looked that up before. I can't remember what it is. I'll have to look it up again. Cloves, daisy, fleabane. So, daisy fleabane. Not just fleabane, not daisies, but daisy fleabane. Garlic, gravel root. Gravel root's real good for the bones, too, by the way. Mallow. I don't know if that's the same as marshmallow or if it's a different mallow, but check out mallow. Scarlet. Globe mallow. Which I'm not familiar with that one. Let's look it up real quick. Scarlet. I gotta get a new book. This book's getting old and tattered. Pages are sticking together because it got a little wet. Scarlet. I bought like a dozen books and I gave them all away. Which is another thing I encourage. Buy the book. It's only like $30. And give it to loved ones. If you got money, then, you know, take it out and educate the homeless so they can feed themselves and don't have to worry about these soup lines and GMO-flavored cardboard with food paint in it. You know, they won't have to rely on all that toxic food. They can go out and learn how to find and cultivate their own wild edibles. That's one of my projects whenever I have more time. I want to take this book or books like it and go out and learn the homeless how to forage and feed themselves. I got a friend who wants to do that with inner city youth. And so, yeah, that's one of my projects. I forgot what I was looking for. Scarlet Globe Mallow. Here it is. Page 370. Oh, it's right here. It's towards the back of the book. All right. It's got like a lettuce look to it. And it's got orange and red flowers. Scarlet Globe Mallow. Small properties as common. Oh, same properties as common mallow. Red orange flowers, rough, gritty green leaves. Dry the upper part of the plant, leaves, flower, stem, make a tea out of it. When it cools, it will gel up a bit. This gel is a smoothing or soothing compound that coats mucous membranes, throat sin. No, it's good for throat sinuses, stomach, intestines, colon, irritations, and bladder. Can even be used as a shampoo or skin lotion. Makes hair curly. Hey, there you go. If you got straight hair and you want it to curl, use this. Natural. If you put in the hair and let it dry. Root. So makes hair curly if you put it in your hair and let it dry. Root can be used as a ginseng. So there you go. Another form of ginseng. Scarlet globe mallow. Now, if we run out of time, I'm going to keep going. I'm actually recording this on two different podcasts. Blog Talk Radio will cut us off here in about 15 minutes or so. So we'll have the rest of the story at freefoodandmedicine.org. All right, continuing on. Maple, moringa, mullein grows wild everywhere. It gets about 6 foot tall. It's got yellow flowers in the stalk, at the very top of the stalk. And it's got big green fuzzy leaves, almost looks like moldy leaves. When I dried it out and took it to my grandma, because it's good for lung problems, when I dried it out and took it to my grandmother, she freaked out because she's allergic to mold, and it looks moldy. She's like, get it out. And I'm like, Grandma, it's not mold. Get it out. She's just freaking out. She wouldn't even touch it. She wouldn't look at it. She wanted me to just get it out of the house. So, needless to say, she died of lung problems and some other stuff because she wouldn't listen to me. But, yeah. Anyways, mullein. Mullein is good for the lungs. It's good for, obviously, internal bleeding, bloody stools. Let's see here. Naked-stemmed daisies. Not sure which kind those are, but I'll have to look them up. Nettles. There's a difference between regular nettles and stinging nettles. Now, I don't know if there's a difference between dead nettle and regular nettle, but nonetheless, look up nettles. Oak, olive leaf, and there's a star next to the olive leaf. So again, olive leaf and chaparral are two of the most important things you can use for internal bleeding and bloody stools. Onions. Oregon grape. I don't know the difference between Oregon grape and other grapes, but Oregon grape. Persimmons. Yes, I'm not a huge persimmon fan, but I guess if I put it in my juice with the blender and, you know, mix it with other stuff, it would be good. Sarah and David love persimmons, our goats love them. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm sure our chickens like them too, by the way. But they're not bad. You got to pick them just at the right time. Otherwise, they have too much alum in them. Basically, when picking a persimmon, you have to just be able to barely touch it if it comes off the tree. Another way to do it is put a blanket down and shake the tree, and whichever ones fall out on their own are the ones you want to eat. But if you pick them too early, they're inedible. And if you pick them too late, they're nasty. So there's like a one-week time frame or less that they're edible. So you got to get them at the right time. And it's a pain in the butt. But anyways, goats don't care after they get, like, rotten, nasty. Chickens and goats, they don't care. They'll eat them. Okay, plantain. That's got a star next to it also. Plantain's real good for blood problems, all kinds of blood problems. So plantain, olive leaf, and chaparral, those have stars next to them. Prickly ash, raspberry, rattlesnake weed, red buds. Hey, I just discovered a red bud that blooms, the red buds, spring, summer, and fall. It's amazing. I spread a whole bunch of seeds on my land. Hopefully they'll come up. If not, next year we're going to go back. We did a tree job for this family, or this couple. We'll go back next year. They want them thinned out. We're going to get cuttings and take them back to the land and clone them and hopefully get those growing. I love red buds. And this red bud only blooms for like a month out of the year. But this one is not a tree. It's a like a shrub or a bush or whatever. It grows up like not grass. Dang it, I can't say what it grows up like. Well, if you cut a tree down to the trunk, and then the trunk grows up with all these just like thousands of different shoots. That's basically how this grows naturally. So, anyways, so it's not a tree. It's more like a shrub or a bush. But and the flowers bloom all spring, summer, and fall. It's amazing. So you get the nutritional value of the red buds for three seasons. It's great. So I look forward to having those on the land soon. Red buds. Okay. Now you can eat the red bud leaves and red bud pods, but I don't like them as much as I do the flowers. So, okay, sapodilla. I've heard of it. I'm not 100% sure what it is, and we're running out of time, so maybe we'll come back to it. Just Google it. Sapodilla. Sapodilla. Shepherd's purse, silk tassel. I'm not sure what that is either. I'll have to look that up. Silk tassel, slippery elm, smooth sumac, which we have all three sumacs growing on the land. We don't have the poison sumac, but we got fragrant sumac, smooth sumac, and the other one, I forgot what it's called. Snake root, steeple bush, never heard of it. I have to look that one up too. Speedwell, never heard of that. I have to look that one up. Sweet fern, sweet annual wormwood, thyme. But the wild thyme, not the domesticated thyme. Turmeric, violets, those are tasty. Wax myrtle, wheatgrass, willow has a star next to it too. So willow, plantain, olive leaf, and chaparral are the main ones for internal bleeding and bloody stools. Wood betony, I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with it. Yarrow, which is amazing for any kind of blood problems. In fact, when I busted open my hand pounding T-posts, thank goodness Sarah already had some yarrow ground it up into a powder. And between her, David, and I, we bandaged it up, put some herbs and different things on it, and then after that I took over and just kind of kept treating it, but I left the yarrow in there all week, so every time I changed the bandage, I would leave the yarrow in it, in the wound. And a couple months later, I ran into a doctor who's now trying to recruit me into Plexus, some multi-level marketing and alternative health company. Anyway, he was amazed at how well we did in bandaging it and treating it, because he said I should have had stitches. But he said it looks like I had stitches. It's like it looks perfect. So we did a really good job. I was basically pounding T-posts into the ground, and I missed. And so I hit my palm, the palm of my hand, on the top of the T-post with a lot of force. And it didn't really hurt until the next day. It really started hurting in. But yeah, I used all natural, everything, with the exception of the painkiller. I did use ibuprofen. But I did use natural painkillers as well. Unfortunately, the natural painkillers made me have to go to the bathroom, diarrhea, or, you know, poop, whatever, they cleaned me out. But, so that's why I took the ibuprofen as well. But yeah, it only took a couple weeks and it healed up really good. The nerves were sensitive still for a little while after that underneath. And every once in a while, if I bang my hand wrong, the nerves are still a little tiny bit sensitive. That happened this summer. And I was still tree trimming and doing everything that I did before except for climbing. That's the only thing I didn't do, because climbing trees is hard on the hands. It's hard on the whole body. So I didn't do any tree climbing for a couple weeks. But I did everything else. I operated a chainsaw, did all that stuff. And I bandaged it. I did, you know, the oil, essential oils and herbs and stuff on it. I did all that myself. I never went to the doctor, and it healed up perfectly. If not perfectly, almost perfectly. It's amazing. But like I said, Sarah and David helped me on the first. And luckily, Sarah had some yarrow already ground up. We put that in there, and I believe that helped a lot. So yarrow's real good for anything blood-related. If you get a wound, yarrow, plantain, mullein, all three of those are good for external wound issues, and they grow everywhere. So, you know, get one of those three and make a poultice out of it and put it on the wound, and it'll stop the bleeding and it'll help with the healing process. Yucca, and this is the Joshua yucca, which I'm not sure what the difference is, but yucca is great for a lot of things, and yucca is a natural painkiller too. It's one of the painkillers that I used. What did I use? I've got a blend of herbs that are for herbs, minerals, and vitamins that are good for pain. Magnesium. Magnesium is great for pain, but it will make you go to the bathroom. yucca is good for pain, inflammation, red beets. Marshmallow, good for pain and inflammation. And I don't know what else I put in my blend, but I had those three in my blend along with something else I can't remember. And diatomaceous earth, of course. But, yeah. All good stuff. So we did get to the bottom of the list. Let's go back and see what we need to look up. We looked that up. Naked stemmed daisies. Let's look that up. Naked stemmed daisies. Blog Talk Radio should be cutting us off soon. So, page 366. Here we go. Okay, so it's not a white daisy, it's a yellow daisy. And it looks like it grows in a desert. So I probably won't be able to grow that in Missouri. But if you live like out in New Mexico or Arizona, California, places like that, this one would be good for you. Naked stemmed daisy. Yellow daisy flower, silver green velvety leaves. Yeah, they look a little fuzzy, too. Indians prized the root for treating bloody diarrhea, dysentery, and venereal diseases. So there you go. Let's go back to the list. Nettles, oak, olive leaf, onion, Oregon grape. Let's find out what the difference is between Oregon grape and other grapes. Ah, my pages. I can't hardly read these. Okay, it's time for a new book. Some of my pages stuck together, and when you peel them apart, it screws up all the writing. You can't tell what it is. Page 78. Oregon. Oh, they don't look like regular grapes. They look kind of nasty. They're kind of like a purplish grape with like a white coating or powder on it. And it's got a yellow flower. And the leaves don't look like grape leaves. They look like holly. I think it's holly. They look like holly leaves. They look pokey. So, Oregon grape is not a grape, obviously. But a powdery, purplish, black-colored blueberry that clusters like grapes. I wonder what zone that grows in. I might have to grow some. Wonder how it tastes. With shiny holly. Did I say holly a minute ago? Anyways, shiny holly-like leaves and clusters of bright yellow bell-shaped edible flowers. Edible berries are quite tart. I like that. With large seeds. The roots have the strongest medicinal strength. Contains alkaloid barberine. Alkaloid barberine, which is an anti-inflammatory and antibacterial to treat infections. Has a direct action on the skin when applied topically. Sometimes he writes weird, and so it sounds like I'm not reading it right, but I am, just so you know. Okay. Good for gums, over 80% effective in relieving psoriasis, eczema, dermatitis, dandruff, acne, and dry, scaly skin. So if you get too ashy, this would be good for you. Alkaloids extracted from the roots and bark have strong antimicrobial, anti-tumor, and antifungal properties, and are potent antioxidants which neutralize skin damage, skin damaging free radicals. Also used for prostate, blood cleanser, kidney, liver. I know a person who needs this for her liver issues. Gallbladder. It's a diuretic and a laxative, so don't eat too much of them. Probably high in vitamin C or magnesium. Do not take while pregnant or breastfeeding. Do not take with licorice. Do not take with licorice, which cancels out the berberian effects. Okay, so it basically cancels out some of the licorice will cancel out some of the medicinal effects of this herb, so that's why they don't want you to take it. So on that note, if you want to block the absorption of chemicals in the body, black walnut will help with that as well. So if you're worried about if you are on a certain medication that you need for whatever reason and you want to wing yourself off of it, but you don't want to block the absorption of that chemical in the body, then don't take black walnut. But, you know, if you're looking at like radiation from your phone or, you know, cell phone towers or anything, you know, any kind of chemicals that are in the air, water, food, like this GMO crap, food paint, black walnut will help block a lot of those chemicals in the body and expel them. It's also a great dewormer. So, but anyway, so don't take licorice with the Oregon grape, or it'll block some of the effects, neutralize some of the effects. Inner bark and roots, bright yellow. Wait. Oh, okay. So it's like a hedge. It's got a bright yellow inner bark and roots, and used as yellow dye. Oh, so it's really yellow. Flowers used to make lemonade type drinks. Sweet. So we got another source of lemonade. Sumac. Sumac, if you soak the berries, whenever they start getting, you know, their tannic, I think it's called tannic acid. When the berries get bright red and they start tasting sour, that's a great time to make lemonade with sumac. So, there we go. Oregon grape, not a grape. Okay, let's see. We still got time. We're not cut off yet. Persimmons, plantain, prickly ash, raspberry, rattlesnake weed. Let's look that up. Rattle 226. Talk radio cuts us off. I'll go ahead and end the podcast. So today's podcast, there won't be an extension, but anyways, am I on the right page? I gotta look up what page it's on again. I lost my whatever. R 226. Here we go. We're getting closer. There's hemlock. Don't eat that. I hear it tastes great, but it will kill you. Okay. White lettuce rattlesnake root. So it's got a white flower. It's got a weird arrowhead-shaped leaf. And let's see here. Oh, I guess it's on the other page. No? Oh, here it is. Okay. White drooping flowers on a smooth purple stem and with latex inside. Whole plant usable. Just a bunch of leaves for some. Just a bunch of leaves for some reason. And then one day. Oh, okay. It shoots up into a straight stick-like stalk, like a rocket shooting into the sky with the purple-white flowers on top. The leaves can be eaten like lettuce. Cool. Good to know. Let's see if I can grow that in zone 7. Here's my red bud, sapodilia. Let's look that up real quick. RS, sap. Here we go. 336. Hopefully we can get all this done before I run out of time. Sapodilia. Oh, that's an interesting looking, okay, so it looks like it's a tree, and it's got a fruit on it that looks like it's about the size of a persimmon, but it doesn't quite look like persimmon. It almost looks like a, what are those things called? Kiwis. It almost looks like a kiwi, but not fuzzy. And when you look at the inside, it almost looks like, if you cut it open, it almost looks like a persimmon on the inside. Leaves are real long and slender. Flowers are white. Anyways, okay, what does it say? Oh, there's a long one. We may run out of time. Although this tree only grows in warm tropical areas, dang it, I can't grow it. I included it because the latex from this tree is the original source of chewing gum. And the sapodilia fruit is super sweet tasting, like malty caramel dripped in brown sugar. These trees are popular in warm areas from Mexico to India, tropical Asia, Philippines, Caribbean, and people are starting to grow them in southern Florida, California, and Hawaii in greenhouses. So there you go. If you live in the southern part of the U.S., you can grow it in a greenhouse. It can grow to 100 feet tall. You're going to have a really big greenhouse. Now you can top it. Anyways, wind resistant. Bark is rich in a white gummy latex called chicle, containing 15% rubber and 38% resin, which makes it a great base for chewing gum. Tree has glossy elliptical leaves, little white bell-like flowers with a six-lobed Corolla. Fruit is large, elliptical berries. They don't look elliptical. Anyways, fruit is large, elliptical berry, resembling a smooth potato containing 2 to 10 black seeds that have a hook on one end. Oh, okay, so the seed's got a hook on it. Interesting. Don't swallow the seeds whole, or they will hook into your throat. Ouch. Fruit inner flesh is yellow to golden brown with grainy pear-like texture. Fruit has a high latex content and does not ripen until picked or it falls off the tree. Whereupon the fruit softens to a firmness and appearance very similar to that of a fuzzy brown skinned kiwi. I thought it looked kind of like a kiwi. Unripe fruit are high in tannins, which dry out the mouth. That's the same problem with persimmons. Very astringent. Oh, and contains high level of saponins. Tree bears fruit twice a year. Young leafy shoots can be eaten raw. Fruit leaves, flowers, and bark used for diarrhea, coughs, colds, pulmonary issues, crushed seeds are a diuretic claimed to expel bladder and kidney stones. There you go. A fluid extract of the crushed seeds is a sedative. Seed paste is applied to stings and bites from various animals. The latex is used in the tropics as a crude filling. Oh, a crude filling for teeth cavities. Interesting. Surprise, Blog Talk hasn't cut us off yet. Where's my phone? I lost my phone. Here it is. Let's see if we're still going. Okay, we're still going. We're an hour in. I'm surprised Blog Talk hasn't kicked us off. Purse silk tassel. Okay, let's look that up real quick. Silk tassel. Page 370. We were almost there. Bam. Desert silk tassel. Interesting. Oh, it's on the same page as the scarlet globe mallow. It looks like cotton. Strings of cotton hanging from the tree. Anyways, silk tassel. Relaxes muscles, yellow or gray wood-colored stem, contains a alkaloid called garanine. Garanine? Something like that. Making it very strong, smooth muscle relaxer. That'd be good in like a massage oil or something. extremely bitter. So you might want to encapsulate. Yeah, I encapsulate most things that are bitter, like hedge apples. Hedge apples are great for you, but they don't taste great. So I dry them out, make them into a powder, and then I put them in pill form, and then I take it that way. But I hear hedge apples, if you freeze them and then eat them, they taste better. So I'm going to have to try that out. Anyways, back to silk tassel. Also relaxes blood vessels, so it drops blood pressure. Good for diarrhea. I wonder if it helps with the big number as well as the little number. See, I have high blood pressure occasionally, but it's usually the big number. So it's not my blood. It's more like my brain and stress and stuff. Oh, great. This guy went out the wrong way. He's trying to go out the way everybody else comes in. And now he's going to plug everything up. Stupid truck driver. Anyway, I think it's so funny when you hear another truck driver call another truck driver a stupid truck driver. Dumb truck drivers! Drivers out here. I'm sure you are well aware there's dumb drivers everywhere, no matter what kind of vehicle they drive. Okay, also relaxes blood vessels, so it drops blood pressure. Good for diarrhea, helps relax. One of the best herbs for menstrual cramps. Hey, there you go. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1, the leaves are weakest. Oh, okay. Stems and bark are 4. Root is 10. You don't want to use the strongest part because it drops blood pressure. Dry. Okay, so you want to use the stems and the bark. Dry, grind up, sift, and capsulize. Recommended to take equivalent of half or quarter teaspoon on an empty stomach several times a day. Quarter to a half teaspoon. Interesting. All right, since we're not cut off yet, let's see what else we'll look up. Steeple bush. Did I skip that? I think I did. Steeple bush. I'm getting hungry, so I think I'm going to stop after steeple bush. I might be stopping now because I can't read what page it's on. Something 72. Try 372. 172. 172. There it is. Steeple bush. Okay, it's short. We'll keep going. Let me find the picture. There's stevia. Steeple bush. Okay. So it's got purple and pink flowers. Looks like it might be in the mint family. The leaves look kind of... The top of the leaves are green, but underneath is the same color as the flower. And the stem looks like it's the same color as the flower, too. So, steeple bush, hard hack. Pink flower, fingers, form, and upward steeple. Leaves, soft and light, golden colored on underside. Both leaves and flowers used for bowel problems and stopping bleeding. So bowel and bleeding problems is what this is good for. Let's see what zone it grows in. Anyways, I'm hungry, so I'm going to call it a night. I still got to do a scrap podcast, but it won't take very long. You can find it at scrapgovscrap.com. You can find all of our podcasts at ManicMondayPodcast.com. We got one that we retired and two that we're still doing, or I'm still doing. if we do any in the future, you'll find them at ManicMondayPodcast.com. All right, party on. Bye. Ah, dang it. It didn't hang up. Sometimes my Bluetooth doesn't hang up whenever I push the button. Here we go. Till next time.